The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Dublin Pride taking place tomorrow. The main parade starting at 12:30 on O'Connell Street and ending in Merrion Square. And my next guest is Adam Long. He's the board director of the National LGBT Federation. And he's actually just come from recently meeting and interviewing the Taoiseach as part of a series of interviews ahead of the celebrations. Adam, nice to see you.
You too. Thank you, Anton.
The interview with the Taoiseach, did he have much interesting to say in the discussion with him?
He did, actually. We talked about a wide range of topics, but I suppose the overarching kind of theme, if you like, was around the need for Ireland to double down, in his own words, double down when it comes to LGBT plus rights and equality, that Ireland Inc. is very much on the side of, I suppose, progress, and framing it actually not just around LGBT issues per se, but kind of, you know, liberal democracy, European values versus the kind of the really disturbing regression and crackdown we're seeing even in countries close, you know, within our own European Union, Hungary, for example.
And we were speaking earlier in the programme to Maria Walsh, and we're going to be talking to Roderick O'Gorman, who is also at that on my own programme tomorrow. It's deeply unsettling, isn't it, that a European Union member would legislate against freedom of expression of who you love for, quote, child protection reasons?
It's absolutely shocking. And it's kind of the most extreme escalation of what the far-right Orban government have been doing in Hungary. They've now been undermining, you know, very basic tenets of democracy and, as I said, those kind of European norms and values for quite some time. And I think they've been emboldened to do that, unfortunately, by what's happening globally. You know, the Trump administration in the US, there also would have been a view that the European Commission, which has power in this area, that they could have done a lot more and they could have been more proactive. There was very supportive statements, but in terms of the actual toolbox, and Ireland was one of 20, actually, the Irish government here, out of 27 member states who called very explicitly for the Commission to intervene and to ensure that, because this isn't just about LGBT plus rights, this is about the right to peaceful assembly and freedom of expression. And it is really quite shocking that, you know, in the Europe of 2025, you could actually see this happening. And I think there has to be consequences now for Orban and for his regime.
Can I ask what you've seen in the run-up to Pride? Because in recent years, there was, I mean, it was very positive, but there was a bandwagon to be jumped on. And a lot of corporates happily jumped on that bandwagon. We saw in America a lot of corporates jump off it awful quick when the new administration came in. Are you seeing more courage among the Irish corporate sector?
I think so. The vast majority of them, so I'm told, have very much remained supportive of, so, you know, Dublin, there are many Pride parades around the country now, which is wonderful in the smallest towns and villages, so very important, that visibility. In terms of Dublin Pride, which would be the biggest, I suppose, the national celebration, second only actually to St. Patrick's Day Parade in terms of its size and the amount of people attending, the vast majority have stayed loyal, and that kind of authentic allyship, I suppose you could call it, has been proven. Unfortunately, yes, there have been a minority who, on the back of, let's say, what's ideologues in the United States in particular, who have targeted this whole space, EDI and DEI, they have backtracked. And that is very unfortunate and regrettable. But I suppose those entities and those corporate entities that were genuinely supportive all along, I think they have actually, and again, it's part of that doubling down, reaffirming that support. And I would say as well, Anton, even just walking through Dublin, you know, today, and in the previous week, to see the rainbow flag flying across the city on the quays, but also, I think, in particular, very important and very significant historical buildings like Leinster House, for example, the GPO, and other government buildings in particular. I think that's a sign of Ireland Inc., if you like, because visibility and representation do matter. People say, why do we need this? We absolutely need this when you're seeing what's happening globally. And it's about Ireland making a very clear statement that we stand on the side of equality and progress.
Now, one of the sort of defining tensions, paradoxes with Pride has been that throughout its history, it has been pushing back against either an unwelcoming environment or a repressive environment. At the same time, it has been doing it in the shiniest, happiest way that it can. We've been talking a lot about the former. What about the latter? What is planned for tomorrow? If nobody has gone to Pride before, what would they look forward to? What would you recommend? Sell it to us.
I think at its heart, it's a celebration of people and of humanity and that kind of colour and that vibrancy. And I think that's what people will see. And it's open to, obviously, the LGBT community, but also our allies, you know, our many allies who have come, you know, who have shown, who have proven their worth in the marriage equality referendum, for example. And I think that allyship now is needed more than ever as we enter into these kind of, you know, polarising times in Europe and globally and so on. But it's a wonderful celebration and it's just so empowering, I think. And it's such a happy occasion. Yes, there'll be lots of events happening. The parade gets underway actually at 12:30 tomorrow. And Dublin will be a sea of rainbow and a sea of just that kind of proud equality and that visibility and representation.
Talk to me about the ally role, because I wonder, is there a wariness in the straight community to say maybe we are not wanted? I mean, not in a negative way, but maybe this is something where for once we shouldn't stick our oar in, or is that the wrong view?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think, you know, as you say, straight people, I mean, you know, we're... The thing about our community and the LGBT community is that we exist everywhere. We exist in every family, in every village, town, city, everywhere. And so, you know, we're part of the broader society. And as I just referenced there in terms of the marriage equality referendum, the community largely has been there for us. And as I said, those who bring that authentic allyship to the table and those who see it, I suppose, as first and foremost, maybe a statement of support for their family, for their friends and so on. But just the kind of society that we want to be. I think people, you know, regardless of their identity and who they are more than welcome to come and join in the celebrations. But it's a celebration, but it's also a protest. That's also very important to say. I mean, Anton, there are still, even here in Ireland, you know, a number of issues that require progress.
What are they?
We can't stall that. So I'll just list a few. So hate crime, for example. Hate crime in Ireland is actually on the rise. The figures now year on year show that hate crime, including targeting our community, has risen in recent years, which is very concerning. And that's not to say that society has gone backwards. It's that kind of proud visibility that we're now seeing in our community and that we have, you know, we have a right to express ourselves publicly. And unfortunately, I suppose, for a very small, hateful element, you know, there is kind of a response to that. So we now, on the statute books, finally have legislation that deals with hate crime. But that's one part of the toolbox. I mean, there also has to be societal kind of awareness and so forth. But unfortunately, part of that bill last year, that Hate Offences Act, removed very important and necessary provisions around updating our laws to respond to, let's say, incitement to violence, incitement to that kind of extreme hatred, which we see, unfortunately, very prominently in the online space in particular. So our legislation in that respect dates from 1989. Obviously, the internet wasn't even in its infancy at that point. But unfortunately, in fact, the Taoiseach agreed with me in the interview that part of this very important legislation fell victim to that culture war misinformation. And it's very important now that we revisit that. In fact, the European Commission are taking infringement proceedings now against Ireland because we haven't brought our laws in respect of incitement. We haven't updated them. So that's very important. Another issue, of course, is trans healthcare. So Ireland was, you know, we were in the vanguard of with our Gender Recognition Act, again, referenced in the interview, the Taoiseach alluded to that being very positive. You know, a Gender Recognition Act in Ireland based on, the self-determination of trans people. So that's important. We're celebrating 10 years of that now, along with marriage equality. But then conversely, Anton, we are bottom of the league in Europe when it comes to trans healthcare. So that's something that needs to be the model of care, the informed consent approach, best practice internationally. We now need to see a lot of work on that. And then issues, for example, I mean, your listeners will find, I'm sure many of your listeners will find this hard to believe, but homosexuality, essentially being a gay, well, it was gay men, but actually the broader community then indirectly were criminalised in this country until 1993. We had a formal state apology in 2018 on the occasion of Pride that year, but there are still mainly, I would say, older gay men alive today who, believe it or not, would have that kind of the stain of what was state-sanctioned homophobia, would still have that on their records. So now I understand that...
There are people who would have had convictions that are still on the record.
In the 1993 is when the law was actually finally repealed. But in the 10 years, even up to that, there were prosecutions, hundreds of prosecutions, and there were convictions. So absolutely. So that's as recent as 1993.
And those convictions haven't been expunged since?
No, they haven't. So when the law, as I said, when that state-sanctioned homophobia was finally ended in 1993, that existed. The records still, as is it so-called, quote-unquote, criminal records, still exist. So now there's a bill that's going to be introduced into the Dáil on Tuesday, I understand. It's going to be a cross-party opposition bill calling for this disregard scheme to be put in place, which is the natural follow-on from the state apology in 2018.
And you would have thought it was the natural follow-on from the decriminalisation in 93.
Yes, indeed.
That's funny because in my head, I mean, again, possibly by not paying sufficient attention, I had a sense that it was a very rarely used law prior to the decriminalisation. But if there's hundreds of people with that stain still on their records, clearly that's
wrong. Well, there were in the 10 years, and this is again what the research has shown, because there's been work done in this space already by people like Kieran Rose, for example, and others. There were hundreds of, in the 10 years before decriminalisation, there were into the hundreds cases were taken. And then I think the actual people who were convicted was, you know, something like, you know, 60 or 70. But even that is, I think a lot of people will find that shocking, you know, that people were being subject to this kind of criminal sanction. And that was the reality. This law was on the statute books. And it's so important now that the people who were directly impacted, that they are fully exonerated, and that it was the state, actually, that was completely in the wrong in that respect. So we've had that recognition through the state apology. Now we need to see the follow-up in terms of removing those, you know, that terrible burden on the lives of people who are criminalised simply for who they are.
Which would seem a relatively small thing, because the impact that was done to them was the being made social pariahs, was being shamed for who they were. You cannot unpick that. It seems a relatively small and easy token to at least take the criminal record away.
Absolutely. And I think, Anton, we need to do it in a very sensitive way as well. There have been other jurisdictions, like, for example, in England and Wales, where it was very onerous. People felt that they were actually almost being put on trial again, trying to prove their innocence. So I think we have to do it very sensitively, and we have to believe people and we have to trust people.
Well, happy Pride. Hope tomorrow goes very well and is enjoyable for all involved. 12:30 on O'Connell Street?
12:30 on O'Connell Street. Thank you, Anton.
Total pleasure. 12:30 on O'Connell Street. That's Adam Long, Board Director of the National LGBT Federation.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.